listening to the Region 10 Report with your host, Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com, where the alternative media gets their news. This show will expose the elite domination plan, disinfo agents, propaganda, corporate control, and the UN plan to strip the world of its freedom and the U.S. of its constitution. This is the Region 10 Report with Suzanne Posel, bringing you the real truth behind the news.
Okay, and just watching your broadcasts, and I had written an article dispelling the myth between Peter Lanza and LIBOR scandal, and I had seen that you had done something on that as well, so I was very grateful that this this rumor that then becomes true, because nobody checks the source links, nobody does any research, and the audience can basically be swayed by anyone in alternative media or mainstream media that has a voice or some semblance of influence. And I'm glad that you picked up on that as well and kind of helped me get that word out that just because it sounds plausible doesn't mean that it's actually happening.
That's right. And, you know, that's a very important point, because right now we're seeing this huge rise of alternative media and internet media, and it's the future. I mean, that's where so much is headed. Cable and broadcast have a lot of years left in them, but they've jumped the shark. I think they're kind of on a downward trajectory in terms of viewership. And you, the way you follow those trends, by the way, is by watching what people are doing for entertainment. And if you want to find out what they're doing for entertainment, within a short amount of time, they'll then be doing that for information and news. So while the majority of people are now, in terms of trends, headed away from the broadcast cable model and toward alternative internet sites like Netflix or Hulu or Amazon Prime, and their Roku, and they're moving away from that traditional model, same thing's happening with information and news. The danger in all that is that you have some very bad information right now in terms of what's out there. You have some really good information on alternative media, but you have bad information too. So one thing that has to happen is there has to be a real transparent attempt at making sure that people who are writing articles or making claims on the internet, that there's some level of fact-checking that goes into that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. From the beginning of my website, I made sure that my source links were the defense and the crux by which I define what I'm writing.
Yeah.
And so I am very grateful to people like you who create these stories based on the facts and also at the same time dispelling myths, but bringing the facts to everyone so that they know exactly what's going on instead of what they hear on the internet and all the chatter that goes on, because sensational stories are always going to be popular.
Right. Absolutely. And as you said, you know, there's a lot of chatter and there's so much noise out there, and there is, and I'm not saying this was necessarily the case in the Lanza and LIBOR story, but there is also beyond just stories that are done wrong or inaccurately reported or reported on very loose connections, which seemed to be the case there. You know, there was Peter Lanza had some to do with something that could be connected to LIBOR. You know what I mean? And so it becomes almost 6 degrees of separation and therefore becomes a fact. And so there are levels of that, but then there are also levels of disinformation that's out there. And that's one thing that people have to be very careful about, is the idea that you're in a position where essentially, if you do not realize that all the information on the internet is not there for positive reasons, that there is some negative, you know, reason for that, then you're kind of kidding yourself. And I think that that happens at times. So let me ask a question. Are you there, Suzanne? Did I lose you?
She's probably still here. Hi, I'm Vinny Eastwood. In fact, Suzanne's unfortunately just dropped off.
I was going to say, I heard a ringing through, so I wondered if you were going to pop up there, Vinny.
Well, I did. In fact, you know, here I am, you know, like a bird in the Amazon rainforest. Caw-caw! And I also wanted to back you up here in saying that, that there is copious quantities of disinformation. And what I find very interesting is that I've probably engaged in misinformation and disinformation unwittingly a number of times. The difference between me and somebody who does it deliberately is that if somebody points it out, I admit that I'm wrong and recuse myself.
Right. And misinformation, my interpretation that misinformation and disinformation are two different things, right?
So, can I interject here? Because I think misinformation would be like a truth of female beauty pageant. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like misconception would be a pregnant woman's beauty pageant.
Very well said. No, I think you do have this misinformation that's out there. And every journalist on some level at times makes mistakes and has to be able to find a way to correct those mistakes. And transparency is obviously a huge important part of what we do. But disinformation is the attempt, I think, to intentionally misinform people and intentionally alter either the facts of a story or to control the way that a viewer or listener or reader interprets that information. And I think there's a lot of that out there. Some of it is done for profit, and some of it is done to stir the pot and create controversy. And I think some of it is done to distract from the true story that should be covered.
I do think you're absolutely correct on that one. Like, case in point, incredibly important story, according to the media, is this George Zimmerman case. You know what I find very interesting about the George Zimmerman case? Is the picture of his face the night of the murder, beaten to a bloody pulp, which I've only seen just recently because I actually went looking. It hasn't been on the media or anything of that. And so people are operating on zero information, and they didn't know that he'd had the heck beaten out of him by this kid before he shot him. And right. I would have thought any credible journalist would have shown that first. And the answer is, the mainstream media are not credible.
Well, I agree. And without question, this Zimmerman case to me is fascinating. Even to watch after the fact, you have a trial that took place, and now all of a sudden you have a second trial that I'm not sure where this is supposed to happen. It's the court of public opinion. It's the after the trial. Let's figure out whether the jury got it right, whether the judge got it right. Let's allow the DOJ to weigh in on this, allow the president to weigh in. And by the way, let me just say something here too. For your listeners who might be confused about this, you might have heard Eric Holders talking about whether or not the Department of Justice should get involved and file civil rights charges against George Zimmerman. You've heard this, right?
No, unfortunately, I haven't.
Oh, okay. So Eric Holder is talking about the fact that the Justice Department may consider whether or not civil rights charges should be filed against George Zimmerman because it is apparent to the Department of Justice that Zimmerman acted the way he did because of the color of Trayvon Martin's skin. And because of the fact that Trayvon is black, that prompted his action, and therefore it's a civil rights violation. Now, let's be clear on something, and this is something that media is, again, they're not saying, which is that that is a ludicrous statement because an individual cannot commit a civil rights violation against another individual. A civil rights violation has to be the state or government committing an act that discriminates against an individual on the basis of their race, their creed, their religion. That's a civil rights violation.
I don't believe that this would be the first time that the state would hide behind BS in order to accuse somebody of a crime that they normally do.
Well, yeah, and it's stunning to me that you could have a Department of Justice go through this kind of, you know, game that they're going through and claim, oh, we're going to look into the civil rights violation. The other thing the media does, though, is while they're not, you know, checking him on that and saying that this is ludicrous, the other thing that they're doing is we have this quite candidly ridiculous trial. It's important to the family of Trayvon Martin. It's important to the family of George Zimmerman. It's important to the community in Florida. But to make this one trial the focus of the nation is just disingenuous because there are people who die in tragic armed conflicts, beating deaths, drive-by shootings, It happens all the time in this country. That's not to minimize what happened to Trayvon, but also to not exalt it to a level where we're asking the entire nation to pay attention to this one thing. And to me, that's where you go from information to entertainment, when media decides this one trial, this one case should capture all these headlines. And then all of a sudden you do have riots taking places in different cities and marches, and people are saying, look at the response from the people. They really care about the story. They don't really care about the story. They're being force-fed a story that is being glamorized and blown out of proportion by a national media.
Well, Ben, true. I'm back. And I've been listening in. And I did not cover the Zimmerman case specifically because of that, because there was so many other things going on in the news. Mm-hmm. But when I saw what you were just speaking about the civil rights violation, and I was watching an alternative media outlet that I won't name their names. However, they produced several videos claiming that there were huge riots going on when it was just one windshield on a car that was broken, one building that had graffiti put on it, and one storefront that was smashed in. If anyone remembers the Rodney King, that was rioting. Right. This is not rioting. And it seems to permeate when people are looking for justification for predictions that they have made that things will happen, that they will take any little bit of information in the news that the news catches. Like, there were people who were arrested in L.A., but during the protest vigils over Sunday and Monday. However, they were only arrested because they were blocking traffic on a major highway and causing congestion for the commuters. It wasn't anything nefarious. So like you were saying, they're making this out to be something that it's not. And it makes me wonder, if the alternative media is being part of this, what is the agenda that's going on?
Well, the mainstream media, in fact, one of these talking heads has even said that this is about social engineering. Some black leader has come out and said, look, more white people need to be killed in order for you to understand. Zimmerman ain't even white. Okay, it's like, okay, dig this.
He's not, he's Hispanic.
They haven't even told us that he ain't white. And then for some reason it's the white man's fault, and for some reason there's, there needs to be riots and there needs to be white people killed because a Hispanic guy killed a black guy.
Well, and the fact that you even refer to him as white, and they're calling him white Hispanic. You know, which is a ridiculous term to use for someone. And if you're calling him white Hispanic because of the fact that he has Anglo, you know, heritage, and he has Hispanic heritage, so do most of the news anchors out there, by the way, who go out there and use Hispanic last names in order to get jobs and write on their application that they are Hispanic. So to refer to George Zimmerman as a white Hispanic is again, it's disingenuous to the argument, because you're trying to create this racial situation. Race may have played a part in it. I'm not saying it did or it didn't, but that's up to the jury to decide. And it's also just because, you know, someone's race was a part of what was happening there does not mean that George Zimmerman was not acting in self-defense. And it doesn't mean that George Zimmerman wasn't acting in self-defense. But again, to take this one case and to micro-focus on it, when you have people all over the country who are dying violent deaths due to a struggle or accidental shootings or intentional shootings or beating deaths, and to make one case the focus of hour upon hour upon hour upon hour of news coverage, it's frankly quite sickening. And to your point, Suzanne, I think the reason alternative media is getting involved in it is because they feel like they're getting left out of a big story. Like, why are you not talking about this story? Isn't it so important? I have personally stayed out of it as well, as much as I can, except for I did post on my Facebook, I got to tell you, this one clip from Piers Morgan. There was a young lady who was a friend of Trayvon Martin who was on the show, and Piers Morgan asked her, and I have the clip up on my Facebook. You can go to Ben Swan, facebook.com/BenSwanRealityCheck, and you'll see it there. But Piers Morgan asked her, well, what's this about him being referred to as a cracker? What's a cracker? And then this woman's like, no, that's not a bad term. Cracker means like law enforcement or security guard. So when Trayvon called him a something-ass cracker, I can't remember what it was, crazy-ass cracker, I think is what it was.
Trayvon was just implying that he goes good with cheese.
Well, no, even worse than that, that would make more sense. She says Trayvon was just saying that he thought he was a police officer or thought that he was a security guard. I'm sorry, Piers Morgan, somebody buy this man the Urban Dictionary. There is no reference to Kraka as being a security guard anywhere in there. Anyone who knows anything knows what a Kraka is in slang lingo.
Well, guys, we're going to head off to break. We're going to continue this on the other side, folks. Don't go away. You're listening to the Region 10 Report with Ben Swan and Vinny Eastwood.
Fight the last freedom of imagination, or drowning pop culture of the biggest nation, with armies of idiots brandishing brand names of one corporation or conflagration, the most holy train wreck of all human history. Tell me how you feel.
Hey everyone, we are back and we are talking with Ben Swan and Vinny Eastwood. And folks, before we went on break, we were talking about this garbage surrounding the acquittal of George Zimmerman and the civil rights violation.
Is that specifically a reference to Piers Morgan? Because I think on the Operation Info Jam Facebook page, their picture is Piers Morgan with the word garbage imprinted on his forehead.
Well, he offered to deport himself. I think that might be a good opportunity for him.
Why would he offer to behead himself? I'm sorry, that's not...
Oh, come on now.
That's a little bit harsh.
A little bit, yeah.
Now, on that clip that you were referencing, Ben, was it the same clip where they were explaining the difference between using the N-word with an A at the end and using the N-word with an ER at the end and what the difference is?
That's not on the clip that I posted. That conversation certainly might have been part of it. I mean, I could barely handle the little bit that I posted, just because it was so nonsensical, you know. And again, it becomes this look. The story itself, it's not enough, I guess, that you're beating this story to death over the acquittal of George Zimmerman, and it's just going for days and days and days, and it's like you're trying to make something so desperately out of this story that I think a rational, reasonable person looking at it would say it's simply not there. You guys do know, too, that George Zimmerman is suing NBC. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. What for?
He's filed a suit against NBC because early on during the investigation, NBC ran a report saying or playing part of the 911 call when Zimmerman, remember, he kept calling, claiming there was someone in the neighborhood. And the lawsuit claims that NBC selectively edited the content of that phone call. And so the way they played it, George Zimmerman is saying, there's this guy out here wandering back and forth, and he looks like he's up to no good. I think he's black. Then when you actually play the full content of it, and that's what the lawsuit is over, is the full content of the call, Zimmerman says, there's a guy out here walking around aimlessly, and I don't know where – he doesn't look like he's supposed to be here, and I'm concerned about him. And the 911 dispatcher says, okay, can you describe him to me? Is he white? Is he black? Or is he Hispanic? And Zimmerman says, I think he's black. And so they removed the fact that that was a question and made it a statement on his in this call. NBC says, of course, it was an accident. It was just poorly edited. And there was
no
attempt. They weren't trying to mislead people. But
did you happen to see the clip? This local radio, television station was giving the names of some of the captains that passed away in that crash. And some of the names were like... Holy Folk, We Too Low, Bing Bang Ow.
What are you talking about?
There was a local.
Did I just jump into a totally different conversation?
It was so funny. Television station was reading off the names of the captains who passed away in the flight from the Asia. Flight that was supposed to that crashed before it landed in San Francisco.
Okay.
And so they claimed that they didn't read the names before they went to air. They just went ahead and aired them. And when you see it on the screen, it says Holy Fuk, We Too Low, Bing Bang Ow, I mean, if anybody in their right, I'm serious.
Wow.
And the airline is suing them for airing that.
So what did this text come from? Was it a graphics person who just wrote crazy things, or do you know where it came from?
They blamed it on an intern coming out of the transportation board that they had contacted to get information on the crash. And this person relayed the names of these captains to them. And they said in their apology that they didn't read them phonetically. They just aired it.
They didn't read it phonetically.
You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the legend of Ron Burgundy. Exactly. He will read anything you put on that teleprompter. Anything.
I'll put a question mark after his name. I am Ron Burgundy.
Go flatter yourself, San Francisco.
Well, see, and that's why we're launching this Truth in Media project. You know, we're putting this project together because the idea is that mainstream media has just lost so much credibility with America. There's a new Pew poll out. You guys might have seen it that says that only 28% of Americans feel that journalists contribute any positive thing to society. And 28% of the people, that means what? What? 72% of the people say they contribute nothing positive to society? That's incredible. Yeah.
They don't know the difference between a journalist. Maybe they don't know the difference between a journalist and a reporter.
Well, and I think that most of them really feel like they've watched too much of this, and so they don't take it serious. You know, when you do have people, and I don't want to beat up on Piers Morgan because I'm always beating up on this poor guy, but when you have someone like Piers Morgan who just gets up and pontificates and nothing is based in fact, it's all based on trying to create a media personality for himself that he's hoping will eventually catch on. And at some point, CNN will have to cut him loose because it's never going to. But, you know, he does this. When you have people who refuse to deal with facts, I think the public is now at a point where they just don't expect it anymore. And so they're just tuning out. And that's why with this project, what we want to be able to do is create content that we're going to place online and on streaming sites that gets back down to really chasing facts and stories and presenting the facts of whatever's going on. So, for instance, on my website over at benswann.com, it's BenSwann.com, you can go there and check out. We've done two stories to give people an idea of what we're putting together because we're raising funds right now to do this. And the first one is on the NSA, and the second one is on Al-Qaeda in Syria. And if you go and watch those stories, we're not leaving anything here as an issue of opinion, of how I feel about things. Rather, it's here are the facts of what's going on in Syria. Here are the facts of what was happening with the NSA. And we're trying to cut through all this noise that media is making and get down to what it actually means to your constitutional rights and you know, civil liberties.
That's wonderful. That we need more people that are doing that. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm in a minority, and I know Vinny does as well, because all of our peers, everyone that we're lumped into in this alternative media, we're kind of wading through all the garbage, trying to shine like a little flashlight or butane lighter and say, hey, we're here. You can actually get some real facts here. You don't have to get what are called articles that are actually op-ed pieces with with a couple of citations that don't actually mean anything when you go and click on them.
That's right. Well, and that's what it's turned into. What media has done in this country is we have made this amazing leap from taking things that are facts and making them sound like opinions, and then taking our opinions and making them sound like facts. And that's why I think the American public is so confused much of the time over a lot of these issues. So, for instance, the piece that we did on the NSA and Edward Snowden, we looked at the fact that media is so disingenuous in the way they've talked about the story, because they've made the whole thing about Snowden, about what kind of guy he is and what his girlfriend is like and whether he ran to China and Russia and what that actually means. And they've talked about Glenn Greenwald and whether he hates America. It's about all these other things. And then what they've ignored are the facts of the case, and that is whether or not what the NSA has been doing and continues to do is actually a crime. And so what we did with our story was pointed out what media has been doing and then said, let's get down to the facts of what the NSA was doing, why they say they have the right, and whether or not they do have that right. And I think when people go and look at that, they'll see clearly that we make a pretty clear journalistic case as to what's going on. Not because we want to change your opinion, but we want you to have some facts in this sea of opinion.
Well, sure. If people are going to form an opinion based on facts as opposed to other opinions, then they're more likely, I would think, to get up and do something. Because at this stage in the game, I'm telling my audience as over and over again, the people who are awake need to start doing something. Mm-hmm. We need to start making our voice being heard. We need to have a march on Monsanto on every common enemy that we have. We need to stop participating in the system as much as possible. Close your bank account if you can do it. Stop buying the products that are killing you. Have your own garden. Use food and herbs as medicine instead of going to the pharmaceutical industry that is paid to kill you.
Well, you have to take action. I agree with you that action has to be taken on a local level, has to be taken in our own personal lives. But I also think, and part of what I'm working on is you have to be able to start influencing the national conversation, because there is an entire several generations of Americans who have been kind of left out of any reasonable debate in this country. And so we're watching all of these rights and constitutional liberties disappear. But when you turn on the TV, everyone's telling you it's okay. It's all right. There's not a problem here. You're going to be just fine. And the right does it and the left does it. And see, what we try to do is cut through that left-right paradigm, because I believe that's a false paradigm, that everything is not based upon someone on the right and someone on the left and how they view things. I think many times those on the right and the left are actually making the same claims. They're just doing it from a different angle. And so what we want to do is interject truth into it. And I think if you interject truth into the conversation, it will ultimately push people back toward liberty, but as you mentioned, it also pushes you back towards personal responsibility.
I
had a Facebook status just the other day. It says, when you tell the truth, you offend both sides of every major argument, because both sides right. are rarely telling the truth.
That's right. That's
and you were talking
true.
About rights there. And I also posted, incidentally, yesterday about rights according to Bill Cooper. A right is when you draw a line in the sand and kill those who cross it. That's paraphrasing, of course. But in general, you actually have no inherent rights unless you defend them with force of will, force of words, or plain old-fashioned forts. The only rights you actually are guaranteed is put up, shut up, or pay up.
Well, yeah, I think that's a great point. You know, one thing we have to keep in mind, too, though, is that all of these rights that we have in the debate that takes place in media – because what media wants to do is they want to be able to say all these rights you've been guaranteed. And the left does it when it comes to the Second Amendment. The right does it when it comes to, you know, due process, the Fourth, the Fifth, the Sixth Amendment. And so, you know, we have this dueling conversations about what rights you actually have or don't have. And I truly believe that what media wants to do is they want to be able to say to you, look, all these rights that you think that you have, those were given to you a long time ago. But today, you can't possibly have those rights because it makes us unsafe. When in fact, if you go back to what the founders and framers created, they believed – go back and read what they wrote, but also look at what they did. These guys believed that the rights of the individual were greater than the rights of the state, or certainly even the rights of the greater good. The individual was sovereign in their eyes. The greater good concept did not apply. And what I mean by that is the founders and framers did not write, you have the right to bear arms, okay? But if everyone else feels uncomfortable with you owning a weapon, you can't have one. They didn't say that. But we have morphed now into a position where we're saying that. We're saying, hey, listen, these guys couldn't have imagined crazy people having weapons. Of course they could. There weren't crazy people in 1776.
Absolutely.
The population's been dumbed down so much that they haven't even read the Constitution. They didn't even know about the Declaration of Independence. They can't quote it. They have no idea what American history is, because American history has been reduced to the most boring subject in school. Have you noticed that? There was actually a study released a number of years ago, I believe, that said that history teachers are indeed the hardest to find in America now, because they've reduced
the reality of history from giving people their rights, exposing scumbaggery, fighting against tyranny, giving people inherent power, sovereign rights, as opposed to giving the monarch the only person with sovereign rights and everybody else being a slave, the subterfuge, the bankers, all of these things that are actually intensely important and even more interesting have been reduced to the Civil War. What year was it? And what date? What such and such and blah, 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 blah. What location? Where was the Gettysburg Address? So on and so forth. It's been reduced so that nothing actually matters.
And the other thing that they've
result,
done...
people think that America no longer matters anymore. The Constitution no longer matters anymore. The Bill of Rights no longer matters anymore. Why? Because they have no idea why they were so important in the first place.
Well, absolutely. And just real quick, the other part of that is that they forget also, because they haven't been taught this, that very first little bit of language that's used in the Declaration, of course, everyone loves to quote the part about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We like to use that term. But remember, the very first words are, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But those words, we hold these truths to be self-evident, means this document, the Constitution of the United States, does not guarantee your rights, and it does not create your rights. It merely points out rights that are in and of themselves self-evident. So when we have these arguments back and forth, and I think this is an interesting discussion because I hear so many people talking about our war on terror, and I have a huge issue with how we conduct drone strikes around the world, the number of people we're killing and calling collateral damage. We're doing all this in the name of our own security and safety. And we love to say, well, those people aren't American, and therefore they're not entitled to constitutional rights. Well, actually, certainly under our Declaration of Independence, the founders and framers believed they did. Not because they were guaranteeing their rights, but if you say we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and they're all entitled to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, killing innocent people in other countries, including men, women, and children, and calling their deaths collateral damage.
We're coming to break here. We're coming to break here,
Ben. It's ludicrous. All right, I'll jump out. Okay.
Denying the times of the lower at ease, when at odds with establishment, iron war upkeep, while asking one question for answering it first, as the central intelligence eats the whole world. Tell me how you feel.
We are back, and we are talking with Ben Swan and Vinnie Eastwood on the Region 10 Report. And we were talking about Constitution and people's rights and all of what's going on in the main and the alternative news. And Ben, are you still doing the Full Disclosure Project?
That's what we're working on. That's what the Truth in Media Project is. We're trying to crowdsource in order to raise the funds to start doing those reports. And then ultimately what we want to do is launch an internet news network that will be streaming 24/7. It will have, kind of the alternative mainstream media style, but it will pull over information from alternative media. It will be kind of a user-friendly platform so that people can upvote, downvote the way they do on Reddit, and they can read stories there. So we started out on Kickstarter. We actually have moved off of Kickstarter because we weren't going to make our goal, and it's an all or nothing. So we're asking people – we raised $250,000 in 30 days. So we're asking people to move that over to PayPal, which you can find on our website at benswan.com, and to fund the stuff there. And so right now we have funded up to 4 episodes, and we're going to keep going from there. So I'm very pleased with it. But it's a great chance for grassroots to get involved.
I just want to give you this.
Absolutely, we need that.
That is excellent.
And Ben, I just wanted to offer, if you need contributors, I'm absolutely more than willing to contribute my articles and all the stuff that I do to this project.
That's great. We'd love to have that. If you go to the website right now, we already have some that we've started putting up from contributors, because it shouldn't just be my voice. But ultimately, when we launch the network, that's what we really want to bring in. Faces and voices and journalists who have done a lot of work for a long time in a lot of different areas. And we want to bring them in and give them a voice, because right now, you turn on mainstream media and it's so many broadcasters and talking heads who have never bothered to actually research anything. And so many of them are just reading copy that was written for them by some producer. But we wanted to bring in people
some
who
producer
have been...
who works for the Department of Defense, no doubt.
Yeah, some of that too. And, you know, we want to bring folks in who say, listen, I've been studying drones for years, and this is the research I've done on it, and this is what I know about it, and this is what I've been tracking. And, you know, if you go across the internet, there are so many of those folks out there who are doing that work. And it's like, well, let's get this out where people can hear it and they can see it and confront people with the reality of what's happening in our country.
Yes, we do need that. We absolutely do, because even even in the alternative circles, you know, there's so many voices out there that we need something that is palatable to people who are waking up and people who haven't woken up, and then the people who are woken up. And so it will get information to people who wouldn't normally look at an alternative news site, because maybe the alternative news site looks really wacky and they feel uncomfortable going there. But if it is comparable to what they're used to, and they're getting good information instead of more garbage that they can regurgitate at the water cooler the next day, that's the point.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And it's actually a three-level platform that we're working on. So the first level is the information part of it. And the idea there is we obviously want to inform people and get this information out there in a way that's useful. And one of the reasons I say that is because over the 2.5 years that I did this segment called Reality Check, and a lot of people know me from that, when I interviewed President Obama, I interviewed Mitt Romney and talked a lot about things like the Federal Reserve and drone strikes and the NDAA, you know, et cetera. We want to take that information, because I've heard from so many people that, you know, they'll say, I've talked for years to family members about this stuff and coworkers about this stuff. And as I've gone through like years and years of this process, they say they don't ever listen to me. And then I get one of these clips of this guy in a suit talking about this, and I show it to them. And then all of a sudden they say, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. And so I didn't decide that people learn this way. This is how people learn today. They learn through media. They learn through video, they learn through text and graphics. I didn't decide it, but I think that I can, and we can take advantage of the fact that people learn that way to actually use it for something other than brand new episodes of Honey Boo Boo. And we
use
can take
the
that
weapon.
And put it
use
out there.
Use the weapon
absolutely.
Of the enemy against them.
They created the system, so let's use it. So that's the first part, is to inform people. The second part is to engage them, which is to take this information and use it to educate your family and educate your friends and create dialogue. Use it with students on college campuses. Use it with journalists and teach them how to report and research outside of the traditional broadcast box. Work with Tea Party groups and Occupy groups, religious and faith-based groups. So take that and engage people. And then the third level is to activate people. What we really want to do is crowdsource solutions to a lot of the problems we have in our country right now, because those solutions aren't going to come from Washington. They're not going to come from lobbyists, certainly. They're not going to come from corporations. They're going to come from people who say, here's how we fix this problem. We crowdsource solutions, and as the people of the United States, we work to get laws passed on our behalf rather than, you know, the 13,000 lobbyists who are working in Washington, D.C. right now getting laws passed on their behalf.
That is amazing. That is so necessary right now. Absolutely. Thank you for doing that, for putting this together.
Well, I think, you know, and it's not just me that's doing it. I appreciate that, but it's not just me. What I need are for people to get behind this project and help make it happen, because there are so many people who say we need it, and there are so many people who say, hey, it's great, it's fantastic, I'm glad you're doing it. And then, you know, they go back to sleep. And so what we need are people to get engaged with it and say, all right, let's try to make something here. You know, journalism by the people, for the people, and let's make it happen. And so it's a challenge. But, you know, I think there are a lot of people out there who need to be fighting this fight, not just for the sake of the future, but for their own sake. You know, we get caught up in a world that's pretty superficial, and it's time to work on changing things and making them better.
Absolutely it is. And at this juncture right now, with everything that's happening, and it's happening so fast. And meanwhile, while people are talking about Trayvon Martin and Zimmerman, I wrote this article about this bill that was created by the banking elite, handed off to the head of the House Financial Services Committee, passed, approved for them, and now it's sitting ready to go out to the House floor, that will completely destroy any homeowner's chance of suing to keep their house or get their house back. And it legitimizes the MERS system, which was illegal to begin with. And so while we're complaining about all this stuff and we're paying attention to the dog and pony show, more of our right to due process, our right to property in this country is being destroyed right now as we speak. And no one is paying attention, or not enough people are paying attention.
No, you're absolutely right. They're not paying attention. The media has lulled them to a nap, and they're all sleeping through it. And there's also kind of, you know, excuse the terminology here, but there's kind of this false prophet kind of mentality out there in media that says everything's fine, everything's going to be fine, don't worry, you know, just go back to whatever you were doing, go back to, you know, your reality TV and go back to your Apple products, because there's not going to be any problems. Everything's going to get back to normal and everything's going to be great. And it's not going to be great unless people get involved and start forcing change. Change does not happen on its own. Someone is forcing it. The question is, who is able to prevail in forcing change? And I think right now, the people in this country who have common purpose in terms of restoring liberty need to fight to restore it, because if you don't believe this, there are plenty of people on the other side who are fighting to take it away from you. They're winning that fight right now, and we've got to change it. That's why I go around saying liberty is rising. I believe that liberty is rising. The opportunity is, more people are awake now than have been in some time, but our window is limited, and we've got to do something.
Yes, absolutely. Because with every year, they pass more legislation. They create situations where we don't have the right to fight back, and we can't fight back because of all the bureaucracy. And then before you know it, we're not going to be able to speak, because the thought police are going to get us before we can, before it comes out of our mouths. They've gotten us on the thought.
Well, it is. You know, the whole idea from Minority Report of pre-crime, you know, it made for a great movie.
Wait, hold on a second.
Oh,
isn't
gosh.
That what the Trayvon Martin... Isn't that what the Trayvon Martin story is? A Minority Report?
I knew we were going somewhere near there. You were actually more more reserved than I thought you were going to be, so I'm grateful for that.
Mention my name in the bathroom; they'll give me a good seat.
But it is the whole pre-crime idea is. It's reality now. I mean, that's where we are today. And this idea that everyone's watching and listening. I was on a radio show last night. They had some hilarious commercials built into it. But one of them was this commercial that proposes that everyone start talking as much as they can in every conversation using terms that would designate you a terrorist in your everyday conversations. Talk about using a fertilizer truck when you're talking about taking the kids to soccer practice, and just everything you can to try to screw up the NSA so that they can't, their surveillance program falls apart because everyone's using these terms.
I drop my kids off to soccer practice in a fertilizer truck.
That would be great.
So, I mean, I think that's where we are right now. We live in a pre-crime era, and the reality is it's not making us any safer. Nobody's safer because of all the things that are happening. You know, what we're seeing, though, is as all that's taking place, and Suzanne, I think you were alluding to this a minute ago, while all that's happening, everyone's ignoring the real issues of all this wealth at the top and corporations that are controlling what's going on at the top, and so little is trickling down to where people are. And don't get me wrong, I don't believe that we have to feed everyone at the bottom and we've got to redistribute wealth. I'm a free market guy. But to me, capitalism and free market means getting corporations out of the legislative process, because crony capitalism is not capitalism. It is a collusion between government and corporations that many would say is fascism. And that's what we're seeing more and more of today, is this collusion between, you know, government and corporations.
Oh, absolutely. Ben, I'm going to have to schedule you back on, because the 1 hour is just not enough with you.
I
have to say that right now.
But no, it's awesome. People, to jump over to benswan.com. You can check out the project there. We have a lot of details about it. Again, it's BENSWANN.com. And you can check out the Truth and Media project there.
Yes, everybody support this man. And we will be right back. Vin Eastwood is going to stick around. Ben, thank you so much for coming on my show. It was a thrill for me.
Thanks, guys.
Good night.